You know, the devil hates this class more than any of the other ones because tonight we're going to be talking about sharing our faith with others. He doesn't care how much you go to church or how much you read your Bible, how much you pray. So he'll do everything he can to interfere, to hinder, to disrupt, and to bother us. But we're going to have a great victory tonight, are we not? You know, my goal this week is, well, it's threefold. Number one, if there's anyone in the church tonight who does not know the Lord as personal Savior, that tonight would be the night to say, come into my life, heart, Lord Jesus. You know, you can know a lot about a person without knowing them, can't you? Is that right? Then, secondly, you know, a lot of people do not have biblical assurance. Oh, you made a commitment one time or another, and you believe that Jesus is God's Son, and He came to save the sinners, and so on, and He's now in heaven at the right hand of God. But for the life of you, if you die today, you wonder where you go. I hope tonight you say, praise God, my name is written in heaven in the book of life. And absent from the body to be present where? With the Lord. And then I pray as I share these tools that all of you tonight, I don't care how old you are, and we've got an 81-year-old lady here from Scotland and others, and I met another 80-year-old back here who looks like me. They said he did anyway. A Lutheran pastor, I believe. From the youngest to the oldest, God can use us to share our faith, can He? Very simple. Well, tonight's tools are very simple, very easy to use, and I'll guarantee you, if God is at work, you, any one of you tonight can share your faith in a way to plant that seed and see some results as a result of it. See somebody come to Christ. And so, praise the Lord. Now, we got two more classes to go. Next week, we're going to be getting into our discipleship. How many mothers here tonight? Could I see your hands? Was it all over when the child arrived? How many of you said, well, I've been carrying Johnny 9 months now. I'm tired. You take him. No, you didn't say that. So, you know, there's a great deal of follow-up to be done here. We pray that God is going to bring thousands of people into the family, don't we? New babes who need nurturing. And so we're going to show you next week how to use a beautiful book here. We're going to give the Evan Choir with a lot of goodies in it. And then the fifth week, we've got a study here that all of you ought to be in on, the fifth week. Now, not all of you are going to be counselors, I know that, but many of you could lead a Bible study in your church for your pastor. We're going to show you how to use this easily taught, self-teach book with basics in the Christian life, and you'll have fun doing it. We'll guarantee you, we'll show you in the fifth week how learning can be fun, and you can do it. Because it's all in the book. All you've got to do, if you can read, is follow the instruction. And I'm going to show you how to do it in the fifth week, okay? Tonight, we gave you a little Born to Reproduce booklet in your packet by the late Dawson Trotman. And read it sometime. Maybe as you go to bed tonight, take it to bed with you. Every one of us can be spiritual reproducers. This man founded the Navigators. And an opening statement, Billy Graham said years ago, I don't know anyone who has touched as many lives as this man Trotman. And so, read it as you go to bed tonight. Okay. Now, if you're here for the first time, we've been memorizing some verses way up in the front of the book. And we've got four so far. I think you have anyway. Man is sinful. Sin has a penalty. Christ paid the penalty. Salvation's a free gift. All together. Take a good deep breath. Don't even look down now. Look up, okay? Man is sinful. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. I see a few saying, come, the old King James. That's okay. That's how I learned it too. Sin has a penalty. Sin has a penalty. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. Now, the good news. Christ paid the penalty. Christ paid the penalty. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. more good news, salvation, a free gift, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one should boast. Okay, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Now the last two, Christ is at the door, and we must receive him. All together, Christ is at the door, Revelation 3:20. If anyone and opens the door, I will come in and eat, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Now, that's not a salvation verse necessarily. It's written in the context of the church. But it says, if anyone hears my voice and does what? Opens the door, I will come in. And so Christ comes into the life where he's invited in. Is that right? Then Billy Graham always ends every message he has for years with John 1:12. Let's say it together. We must receive him. John 1:12. Yet to all who receive him, to those he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12. Now turn to page 31 for just a moment. And I don't know how many of you have been doing your homework, but I'd like to challenge you to do this homework, this page, this study. Won't take you long. And a couple of reasons for it. Number one, questions 3, 4, and 5 are the exact questions you're going to answer on your application form if you fill it out. So do your homework and then copy your answers over on your application. Understand? Very easy. So do your homework. Won't take you long. Then turn to page 32. And next week, as I have a few moments at the beginning, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions just to see where we're coming from. In his witness to the woman of Samaria and to Nicodemus, this is number 7, Jesus varied his approach. How was it different? Think about that. And don't say, well, he talked to a woman in one case and a man in another. We're not asking for that. I'll give you that one. Number 8, it says, analyze Philip sharing his faith and what practical lessons, and there are 3 or 4 that we can learn. It all has to do with sharing our faith. And so, do your homework next week, will you? Nod your head, will you? Good, I know you would. All right. Now, tonight, we gave you, in your packet, and I hope everyone got one, 2 of these little booklets right here. Take one of them out. Beautiful little picture on there. Steps to Peace. Steps to Peace. And because we have a lot to do tonight, I'm going to have to move right along. As Glenn mentioned a moment ago, I know you have a heavy burden with that offering and you want to get rid of it as quickly as you can. If you can't give $1,000 tonight, $500 will be sufficient. And so do what you can. And we just pray that God has told you what to bring tonight. I know the budget is big and I'm not going to beg. I don't like squeezing the lemon at all. I'm not going to say any more than that. You're going to give the offering that God laid on your heart. And give it tonight. All right. Now, this little booklet is a very simple, graphic approach. It has everything in it that a person needs to know to trust in the Lord if the Holy Spirit is at work. I like to call it a skeleton which you put meat on. Tracks that you can run along and amplify. And so got everything in it. And as I said earlier, the devil hates what we're doing tonight because he likes to keep the eyes of people blinded, their minds blinded, right? But we're going to pray that God will open the eyes and God will use some of you tonight here in the next few days or weeks to lead someone to Jesus Christ. I'm going to read through it with you. Now, normally, you can read through this in 4 or 5 minutes. When I sit down sometimes, I took an hour one time with a Venezuelan student, a national from Venezuela who came to the Vanderbilt University, and I was working with the international students, and they gave me his name. I invited him to church and brought him home and had a great time sharing just slowly. There's a lot of words you could circle and underline and amplify, but everything you need to know is right here, wonderfully put, questions asked and everything. So you start reading with me now, beginning with Inside Cover. Read it out loud with me. I might stop occasionally, but we don't have a lot of time to show you where to circle or amplify. Step one, let's read it together. God's purpose, peace and life. God loves you and wants you to experience peace and life, abundant and eternal. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Circle peace with God. And underline, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's just a little idea. Every once in a while, you can talk and stop and amplify and share a little bit more, and as God allows you. But we won't be able to do this too often here. So, do you have peace with God tonight? If you do, it's to whom? Jesus. What did he do? Died for us. All right, read on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Put your first word name over the word world. God so loved Betty, Phyllis, John, whatever, that he gave his only Son, that if John or Betty would believe in him, John or Betty would not perish, but John or Betty would have what? Everlasting life. Personalize it. We're part of the world, aren't we? Are we? I've had people tell me that's how they came to know the Lord. A pastor one time said that's exactly, someone personalized it for me. Now, bottom of the page, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Across the page at the top, since God planned for us to have peace and abundant life right now, why are most people not having this experience? Turn to step two. And you notice the sun has begun to peep out a little bit on this, and we're going to see it in different stages here. Read on. Our problem, separation. God created us in his own image to have an abundant life. He did not make us robots to automatically love and obey him, but gave us a will and a freedom of choice. There are a lot of words you could circle and talk about. Aren't you glad that God didn't make us all robots? We'd all bow down and do everything, you know, by command. One of the problems we have is, though, that we have a will, right? And a freedom of choice. And too often, we make the wrong choice. We chose to disobey God, read with me, and to go our own willful way. We still make this choice today. This results in separation from God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And while you're reading this, you know, you could use that little suggestion I made the first week. Circle gift for the one that you say, hey, have you ever received the gift of God? You might try that as you're reading through with someone. Cross the page. Our choice results in separation from God. And now you have people on one side or woman or whatever, and God on the other with a big chasm between. Turn the page. Our attempts. Through the ages, individuals have tried in many ways to bridge this gap without success. The Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. All right, across the page you see the bridges. The people today are trying to build. Religion is man's attempt, but Christianity is God coming to man with a cross. You know people today who hope to get there by their good works, don't you? Religion, you know, religion is not a bad word. It's a system of worship. It could be ritual or real, right? It's real when Jesus is the object. You know, religion can lead you to idolatry. Christianity ought to lead us to God through faith in Jesus Christ. All right, there's only one what? Remedy for this problem of separations. Step three, and look at the sun is getting a little more visible now. God's remedy. God's remedy, the cross. Jesus Christ is the only answer to this problem. He died on the cross and rose from the grave, paying the penalty for our sin and bridging the gap between God and... Boy, there are a lot of words you could circle there and amplify, aren't they? Take a little time with. Read on. The Bible said, God is on one side and all the people on the other side, and Christ Jesus himself, man, is between them to bring them together. Now, that's the Living Bible we snuck in there. You know, it says there's one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's what the King James says, who gave himself a ransom for us all. And so the cross, Jesus Christ, was the mediator to bring sinful man to God. Is that right? Have you come to the cross yourself? Read on. For Christ also has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Top of the page, God has provided the only way. We must make the choice. And there's the cross. Been there 2,000 years. Turn the page, and now the sun is in full view. Our response: receive Christ. We must trust Jesus Christ and receive him by personal invitation. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." It's as simple as this, friend. You go home tonight, lock your door, and there's a knock. And you kind of peek out to see who is there, and it's a friend. You want him in, unlock the door, invite that person in. Christ will come into any life tonight where he's invited, won't he? Came into yours, didn't he? You bet. Now, here's what we do. Read the next verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Have you received Christ? Have you? Can you nod your head? You have? Is he in your heart tonight? Name written in heaven in the book of life? One day those books are going to be opened. Now, see if you can say this, give this confession, the last verse. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Are you here or here? Circle. Which side are you on right now? Put a circle. Are you over here or over here? Put a mark on there. I was teaching this class up in Boston a few years back, and a young girl, Chris, who worked in our office a lot as a volunteer from another real, not evangelical church, but she was a bright young gal and had some problem with Christianity. And she came to the Friday classes, and I'll be through with this in about 2 minutes. I stepped down as I was having people stand. I said, "Chris, where did you put your mark?" She said, "Kind of in the middle." And I said, "I pray you'll get across before too long." Well, a couple weeks after the classes she was in volunteering, she said, "Mr. Riggs, not only do I know which side I'm on, but I used your little booklet and I led my fiancé to trust Jesus." So, if God's working, you've got everything you need right here. Which side are you on? Your name in the book of life? Are you going to heaven when you die? Turn the page. For those who haven't done, I've had people stay after the class to say, "Well, I'm not sure." Read it with me. Is there any good reason why you cannot receive Christ right now? I've had people say, "No one ever asked me." We ought to ask God for a little more boldness, hadn't we? Is there any reason why you don't want to now? I'm a little too reluctant sometimes. I guess I realize it's God's work, but boy, I'll tell you, we ought to be more bold, hadn't we? What's it going to hurt? How to receive him? Read it with me. Admit your need. I'm a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sins. Repent. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. Through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Receive him as Lord and Savior. You know, before you come to Christ, you have to admit you're a sinner. Else, why do you need a Savior, right? That's why he died, to save us. Now, here's a simple prayer that Billy Graham has prayed all over the world to millions of people. Some of you could pray this prayer tonight. I heard one man say years ago, for years, I was about 12 to 14 inches from becoming a Christian. I had it all in my head, but he wasn't in my heart. Read it with me. Maybe it could be your prayer right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust you and follow you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Simple prayer. You can pray it tonight if you need to. Put your date down there in your signature. Turn the page. Those who say the prayer God's assurance. Read it with me. And now you know the sun is right over there in the middle of that little square. God's assurance, his word. If you prayed this prayer, the Bible says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you believe that tonight? Do you? Do you? That's what he says. Did you sincerely ask Jesus Christ to come into your life? Then where is he right now? Shouldn't you be able to say, well, he's in my life. In my life. For it is by what? Grace. Circle grace. You've been saved through what? Faith. Circle faith. Well, who do you put your faith in? Christ, right? What did he do for you? You know, many times people will say, God, well, who died for you on the cross? Who bore your sins? Jesus did, right? He already did that. So we're saved through faith, and underline this, not from yourselves. Nothing we can do. Grace is unmerited favor, isn't it? It is the what? Gift. Circle that gift again. And how do you get a gift? You receive it freely. And underline not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, that's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Put a little comma after 9 and put 10. Which says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. To show our faith, we do demonstrate by our works, right? But don't put the cart before the horse. It's salvation by grace through faith, a free gift, and then we demonstrate it by serving Christ, right? The Bible says, you notice there's a little dove there now. I don't know if they meant that's the dove of the Spirit or the dove of peace, but you got a little dove in the picture now. The Bible says, read with me, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Circle that word, know. In the third line down, last word, know you have eternal life. Can you say tonight, I know I have eternal life? Can you? Yes. What a blessing to be able to do that. Last statement. Receiving Christ, we are born into God's family through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. This is called regeneration or the new birth. Have you been born again? Have you? Turn to the back. Those who make a commitment, we need to get them started right. This is just the beginning of a wonderful new life in Christ. To deepen this relationship, read with me. Read your Bible every day to know Christ better. Talk to God in prayer every day. Tell others about Christ. Worship, fellowship, and serve with other Christians in the church where Christ is preached. As Christ's representative in a needy world, demonstrate your new life by your love and concern for others. You got two of these. Pray about maybe someone you can share one or two of them with. And these, any material that we have here can be purchased at the Crusade office at our cost. Actually, at our cost. A lot less than you'd pay otherwise. We can't give these books away because we've got to have enough to finish the course. But you can buy more of these if you like. I think they sell for 5 or 10 cents a piece. And so you get more of them. And I would suggest that maybe you'd say, you know, I'm taking a course for Billy Graham, and I've been asked to share this booklet to get reaction from two or three people. Now, you're not saying, hey, you know, I'm a witness to you. You say, I'd like to get your reaction. And that's kind of makes them feel good. So you say, read it through there. Read it through. You're not making any decision. Then you get over here and you say, Bill or Mary, well, that's quite a question. Which side would you say you're on? Boy, that could be a provoking question, couldn't it? I never thought about it, really. Well, you know, eternity's forever. And I sure would want to know where I'm going to spend it, wouldn't you? It's possible God could let you share your faith in a way that someone might trust the Lord. Stand up now and shake hands with somebody I've met before. Now, turn to page 25 in your course book. I'm running a tight schedule here tonight. We have to have the offering taken by 25 after here. And so we're moving along. Page 25. Top of page. So far, we've been stressing personal preparation for a close walk with God. Now, we've been challenging you daily to walk in the what? Walk in the what? Walk in the what? Have you starting your day with Him? Surrendering to Him? We gave you a book on practicing His what? Does He go with you everywhere you go? Walking His pathway? Now, we're switching gears tonight. Second statement. Do you have faith in the power and sovereignty of God tonight? Let's hear an amen.
Amen.
Three. Do you believe He can use you in spite of your own weakness and inadequacy?
Yes.
Another amen.
Amen.
Ah, we're getting a little tougher. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit will guide you, make you courageous, help you in your work, and also work effectively in the lives of those to whom you will speak? Let's hear it.
Amen.
Oh, a little louder.
Amen.
Then fill out the counselor application and hand it in next week. You said everything you need to say. Back it up. I do pray that God will nudge a lot of you to hand that application in next week. And if only the fear of man is all that's holding you up, I pray He won't even let you sleep until you hand it in. How's that? How's that? Is that too hard? Now, about halfway down, first, you remember your own what? Life is a great part of your witness. Second, earn the right to be heard by what? Sincerely what? Listening to others. Don't do all the talking. Get to know people. Listen to their problems. In the middle of the statement, we make a... Look at it. Well, let me read. Jesus was a friend of sinners and often sat with them. Instead of having only one consuming drive to press home a verbal witness, win the confidence of people by being what? Interested in them. Do things for them, with them. Next week, we're going to give you a little... friendship evangelism leaf that they really will give us some good ideas of how to get close to people. It says, let them tell you their what? Here's a question you ask somebody this week. Ask them, what is your greatest need? Just being a good listener will open many doors. It may mean that you get involved more deeply in the lives of people. In the long run, you'll have a more sympathetic individual with whom you can share Christ. And after the unburden on you. In psychology, they call it catharsis. Letting it all out. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people that have a lot to unburden, don't they? And when they get through, you might say, well, Betty or John, sometime I'd like to tell you about a person that can help you with that problem. And time for the next page. Third, in witnessing, it's important to remember that you are not presenting a what? Scratch out formula. It's not a formula. Scratch out outline. Just put a line. It's not a formula. That's not an outline. And you put a line through systematic plan of salvation. We have given you scripture verses to give you a little confidence and assurance, but not to use as a ball bat to club people with. Really. But rather the person of what? The Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to meet my friend. I want you to trust my friend. Receive my friend. Jesus is the one who can meet that need of yours. Trust Him tonight. And He will wonderfully come into your life and begin to work in your life and help you in life. I don't know what I'd do without Him, do you? I don't know. Then four, stress the love of God. Fifth, keep it what? Keep it simple. You know, Billy Graham is known for his simplicity. He never uses words that people do not understand. Paul said the same thing. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Right? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Those are verses you'll find in a lower paragraph. We're not going to take time. Now, there's a difference between witnessing and counseling. When you're witnessing, it's up to you how you get started and how far you go. When you're counseling, you're going to take over where Billy Graham leaves off. However, I like to think they're parallel tracks. And on across to page 27, there are four things we're going to share in the next little while here to show you how it all works, and then put these 4 points together that we've just read in this little book and show you how it works at the stadium. Billy Graham shares the facts, or you and I share the facts. The gospel. Put Romans 1:16 right under that. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You share the gospel. I share the gospel. Billy Graham shares it. Dr. Graham always gives an invitation. Put a couple verses. Put Acts 3:19 and a big R after it. I'll get back to this in a moment. And John 1:12 and another R. And so, when I share the facts with someone, I want to find out, do they want to respond to them? Billy Graham will always pray with these people. Romans 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And if I'm leading someone along and they're trusting Jesus Christ and pray with me, want to pray with them, I'll pray with them. And then Billy Graham, and then the counselor comes along after Dr. Graham has preached, given the invitation, prays with them. The counselor comes along to confirm or to make sure the person understands what's happened and give them some good follow-up literature. This is 1 John 5:11 and 12. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God doesn't have life. And so, parallel tracks. Now, how many of you tonight would say you have the gift of evangelism? Could I see your hands? You have the gift of evangelism. I don't see more than 15 hands up. The rest of us are off the hook. These people do all evangelizing. Isn't that wonderful? On the top of your page, I want you to put down planters. P-L-A-N, like peanuts. Planters. Planters. First Peter 3:1-23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's 1 Peter 1:23. All of us, whether we're have the gift of evangelism or not, can plant the good seed. Is that right? Do you agree with that? That's what we're doing. We're planting. Now, underneath, where you have some space, or if you have more room, under you have room, just under the bridge, put down process. Process. That's 1 Corinthians 3:6-7. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, what's the rest of it? But God gave the increase. You see, there's a planting, there's a watering, but it's God who gives the increase. And so all of us can be in on the planting, we can be on the watering, and sometimes God might use us to bring the increase in. You get the picture? Do you? Well, that's what we're going to study now for the next little while. And let's say that Glenn and I have been friends for a long time. I'm picking on him again tonight. And I'm not sure where he is spiritually. And so one day, we have a little coffee together after a golf game. We played golf last week too, didn't we? Something like that. And I say, Glenn, let me ask you a question. What is your philosophy of life after death? Well, he said, I haven't given much thought to it, but I suppose there's life after death. Do you believe in heaven and hell? Well, doesn't everyone? Well, Glenn, where do you think you're going to spend eternity? Boy, I haven't given much thought to that either. Well, I'll tell you what, eternity's forever. I sure would want to know where I'm going to spend it, wouldn't you? Could I share something with you, Glenn? I've done this on table napkins in restaurants, and I remember flying along with a sailor one day. He had a big envelope, and I drew this bridge on his envelope. I don't know what his commander said when he saw that when he showed up at his station, but I've had a wonderful opportunity. You don't have a booklet, but you can graphically do it this way. Okay, Glenn, let me share something. God's plan is peace and life. Write it down. Peace and life. And when God breathed breath into man, he made him an eternal being. And all of us are going to live or exist eternally somewhere. Do you believe that tonight? Do you? Amen. More than that, Glenn, God wants us to have his abundant life. And so that's John 3:16. He wants us to have everlasting life. And 10:10, that's B, if you want to put a B. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Glenn, God wants you to have his kind of life. This is an old navigator illustration. But Glenn, there's a problem. And our problem is one of separation. This is not an automatic for people. It's a problem of separation. That's Romans 6:23. Let me illustrate for you, Glenn. Come down here now. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he made us, or made people in his own image. But Glenn, God didn't make us as robots where we'd fall down and worship him, but he gave us the will and the freedom of choice. And years ago, man decided to go his own way and he rebelled. And there's been a chasm between God and man ever since, and it's called sin. S-I-N. Here's what the Apostle Paul has to say about it in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon how many men? All men, for all have sinned. I have three children. Every one of them were born right over on this side. My wife and I were both Christians. Our children were born over here. Why? They inherited my sinful what? Nature. Where did I get it? From my father. Where did he get it? From his father. Where did he get it? Right back to Adam. Do you agree with that? Biblically, this is where it started. Genesis 2:16-17, God said to the woman, the man, here's a beautiful garden. Have anything in it. Enjoy it. But one tree you cannot touch. The day you eat it or touch it, you what? Die. That's what the Bible says. That's called the original sin. Enter the serpent in Genesis 3:6. He said, you won't surely die. You become like gods. So he caused the woman to disobey. She took the fruit and ate, gave to her husband. And ever since, it's been a chasm. Do you agree with me? Now, you can put a couple of strokes about halfway over. Man has been religious through the years. He's tried to get back. Many bridges. But all of them have failed. Glenn, thank God for his remedy. Let's put it down. The cross. And for 2,000 years, Romans 5:8, for 2,000 years, that cross has been there, bridging the gap. Let's draw the cross in now. Put it in there. And the cross blots out our sin. You want to put John 3:16 there again. And let's just sing quickly. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power where? In the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Remission of sin. So Glenn, God went to the cross through his son Jesus, and he made atonement possible for you that you might be reconciled. One thing more we must do, our response is receive Christ. And so that's our decision, to receive Christ. And I've done this many times. I put a line right up and down. I say, Glenn, if this illustration's true, all of mankind's on one side or the other. There are people today who are in God's family by faith. They're right people, but they're still away from God. Is that right? So we need to make a commitment. Are you willing? Well, and then I'd say to Glenn, I'd hand him a pen. I'd say, Glenn, which side would you say you were on? And I've had people put a mark this close, but on the wrong side. I was speaking to an insurance man in Chicago one time a few years back, having lunch together, and I drew this on a napkin. And he said, Charlie, I know I'm not a saved man. I'm right now reading a book, World of Flame, by Billy Graham. Nothing I could do to push him across. So we come to the invitation. I say, Glenn, which side are you on? Billy Graham always gives one. When he comes, gives his message, the gospel, then always he starts it this way. If you're willing tonight to repent, turn from your sin, and receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and be willing to follow him in obedience, I want you to get out of your seat and come right down to the front. This verse in Acts is, repent and be converted that your sins might be blotted out. And so the invitation, I give it to Glenn, and Billy Graham gives it. Now, they gave me a little diagram of the stadium here, for whatever it may be worth. Here we have the... How many of you have been in a big stadium? Huh? Flip it over? Is it backwards, upside down? Is that all right? Huh? Okay. You like that? I'm only going to take a couple minutes here because time's getting away. Here's the platform. Billy Graham will be preaching right from here. Oh, here. And this is for the singers and other people participating in testimonies. These dots represent places where counselors will be seated in groups. Every night, strategically, we'll place about 500 or 600 counselors. They'll have a special entrance. Choir will be seated right here. How many, Lord willing, be singing the choir? Now, you can be a counselor and sing in the choir. Every one of these aisles will have reserved for counselor stickers on them right here. You may be an usher and a counselor. You may be sitting with your friends as a counselor. We hope and pray that we'll have a couple thousand every night counselors. Billy Graham will preach, give the invitation, and down people come. A young lady comes across here, parent supervisor sends her a counselor with her with a book. Same sex and approximate age. They come and stand in front of the platform. Here comes an older man here. A gentleman follows him down. They stand together. And so there's a build-up out in front of the platform here. You'll notice every night, maybe you won't, there's going to be a group of supervisors forming a front line. They're going to have extra books and materials. Then another group comes out as it builds back here. Then another group comes back. As it builds back in another group, about 100 supervisors are going to be planted in this group of 2,000 people. And when the invitation's over, another group of supervisors called peripheral come down and form a net around the field here like that. And we yank them in. Nobody walks off without talking to a counselor and getting the material. And Billy Graham will speak to all of those that have come. Say, now, if you want Christ tonight, I want you to pray this prayer. And he prays with him. Oh, God, I know I'm a sinner. Just the same in the little book. And then he gives what we call the rules for the road. 4 rules for the road, which are in this book, which we're going to give you next week. And then he'll say, now, standing next to you as a counselor, they're here to help you. And so in a moment... The Cliff Barrows will come, and then we'll have the benediction, and then the counselors will begin. Cliff Barrows will get up, and he'll invite all the children, 11 and under, to come, or 12 and under, to come out back to areas behind the platform where we have special children's counseling material and helps. Benediction. Cliff Barrows will get up again. Now, if you don't have a counselor standing beside you, raise your hand. And a lot of people, they come so fast sometimes, we don't get all the counselors alongside of them. So all of these supervisors will be equipped with 2 cards, a blue card and a pink one. Isn't that pink? It's all I could find. But blue, if you see these waving, we need some men down here. Any one of these spots, I need some men counselors. See a pink one, women. And now you come out of the crowd from the choir, or you come from where you're sitting in the stands, and you see a pink up, you're going to go toward the pink if you're a woman. You see blues waving, go toward the blue until we get everyone paired off down here. And then the counseling begins, okay? And standing down in the area, about 400 ministers and mature Christian lay people who are standing by to help any counselor at any time there's a problem. So you never have to worry about being over your head. Someone, you may start counseling someone and say, well, how do you know that Jesus is any more divine than Buddha? How do you know the Bible is the Word of God? Well, you know, I don't know. So what do? Just raise both hands. And Glenn is standing right there. And I say, Glenn, I need some help. Now, this fellow says he doesn't believe the Bible is the Word of God. Glenn says, you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God? You don't believe that Buddha is Jesus anymore? Oh, man. And so he takes over. Isn't that great? And So the counseling begins, and you're now there, and we're going to show you after the offering how to break the ice and get started. But Billy Graham shares the facts. I share them with Glenn. Billy Graham always gives an invitation, and I come and say, Glenn, which side are you on? Well, Charlie, I really don't have the faith you're talking about. So let's, you want Christ? Pray with him. Billy Graham shares, prays with him, and then the counselor comes along to really nail it down. This is what happened tonight, and we're going to show you a little Bible study in a moment that we use. Now, the big event takes place. Get that $100 out and get it ready for the offering. And you notice on the overhead, here's all the instructions you need. You got an envelope in your packet. Take that white envelope out right now. Take it out. Take the white envelope out. Get that offering ready. Get the offering ready. And if you're writing out a check, it's just simply Billy Graham Crusade is all you need on there. Get the offering out. Put it in the envelope. Do not place attendance slips in the envelope. You understand? We want them separately. The attendance slips are separate. You can write those out now, too, the attendance slips. And if you're here for the first time, friends, the attendance slips are all the way in the back. And if you're here for the first time, you'll fill out number one. If you've been here every time, you're now number three. If you're here for the second time, you'll fill out number two. Attendance slips, offering envelopes. Attendance slips, offering envelopes. Put your offering in the envelope. Seal the envelope. Write the amount in large figures. $10. $5. Right on the top of the envelope so we can read it. We're going to give it tabulated in a few minutes and announce at the end of the class how much we took in tonight. And we'll have the doxology. Okay? Get that money in the envelope. Seal it. If you want a receipt, you better give us your name and address if it's not on a check. Get your attendance slip ready. Get that ready to hand in. And we're going to hand it in how many aisles? Any particular aisles? Any aisle. Anyone? All right. Would those who are taking the offering come to the front, please, and we'll have a prayer. Money ready. In the envelope. Large letters. How many understand what I'm asking you to do? Lou, nod your head, do you? We can read it quickly if you put it on the top. Now, last night a number didn't have any figure on it, so we couldn't tabulate it. We have to take it to the office and find out the exact amount. Offering ready, envelope, large figure, the amount on it, front, top. Tennis slips ready to hand in. Move them across, please. As soon as you're ready, now let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ who's come to save us. And Father, we thank you for the privilege of serving him. And we pray tonight, give us, Lord, the courage to believe you can use us. And Father, we pray you'll bless every penny that comes in the offering tonight for the furtherance of the gospel in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give them just a moment, but move your envelope and your attendance slip across to an aisle. Quickly. I know. Well, we don't have time either. I've got another thing to do. But we got the both rooms, people in both rooms?
Yeah. We got everything covered.
As many as last week?
Pretty close. Yeah, we didn't have much of a drop-off.
For me?
Yeah.
Get those tennis slips across now, quickly. Now, hey, we want you to pass your envelopes and the tennis slips across to the aisle. If we take time to pass the tray, we'll be here till midnight. Get the envelopes and the tennis slips, move them right across the aisle. Move them. That's right. Let's sing "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." All right? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so real and free. Now, don't go away, gentlemen. How many of you still have an offering envelope or an attendance slip? They're passing the tray across. Toe, let's get the slips across to the aisle, please. It takes forever. Someone holds it up, and they'll sit on it for a while. I've had this happen. That's why we want you to hand them across. If you have an envelope or an attendance slip, hold it over your head, and we'll come and get it. Hold it up. Stand up now and sing it again. All right. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so real and free. Now, are there any attendance slips or offering envelopes? Raise them up. This boy has some reason he raised his hand. What is it? See what it's all about. This is a little form I've been using for a number of years to sort of break the ice. You know, when you get down to the front, you're going to be paired off with someone, and I'm going to be paired off with Glenn again tonight. I like to pick on him. And Billy Graham's going to say, standing next to you as a counselor, they're here to help you. And go ahead, bless you. God bless you, counselor. So I immediately put my hand out, get a hold of his hand, and say, Glenn, my name is Charlie Riggs. What's yours? And he gives me his name. So I'm going to write his name right on the top of this because he's going to get this for him. Now, I'm sure they didn't have this at Pentecost. That's what I know of anyway. And if you can lead a person to Jesus Christ, I'm not going to say, hey, you got to use this. The main thing, we want them to know what it's all about before they leave the stadium. Is that right? Billy Graham's going to say tonight, we're going to give you a little graphic folder that helps you understand more clearly what you're doing here tonight. So he'll say a word about it. Second thing, you're not starting from scratch. Billy Graham has preached for 40 minutes, hasn't he? Do you think he can do a good job? He's given a specific invitation, right? And he's prayed with them. Now, don't start all over again. A smart person, you're going to find out where they are and take on. Now, some of these people might be clear as a bell, and all you need to do is confirm it. Some others, you may have to help a little bit, okay? Counseling doesn't take more than 15 minutes. I'm going to do 5 tonight in 15 minutes, quickly, to show you how it's all about. And we're going to have a rehearsal right at the stadium where all of you are going to get over there. You're going to know where counselors check in, where counselors sit, where counselors work, where counselors get the material. The whole thing will be all spelled out beautifully for you. So just relax. We're throwing a lot at you in a little while here. There's lots of time to get acquainted with the material and work out there. And so it only takes 15 or 20 minutes at the most. Now, you could say to a person, what decision are you making here tonight? And I've had them say, well, I came to get a better picture of Billy Graham, or get a picture of Billy Graham. I've been sitting up in the stands. We had a fellow say one, I actually said, well, I've come to make a few points with a man upstairs. That's his exact statement. There was a boy in Atlanta, Georgia a few years ago, a young man. He was having trouble finding out where he should go with this young man. He was telling him, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And the boy said, to Cleveland, Ohio. That's where he lived. Sit down. I'd go to Cleveland. By the way, anyone who's down there and you're paired with and they say, I've come to take a picture of Billy Graham or whatever reason, I would not let them off without saying, have you ever made the wonderful discovery of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Those are questions that you're going to find in your material before too long. Kennedy uses them in EEE. How many of you know the EEE program? Two questions I think are very good. If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Why should God accept you in his heaven? Well, I've always lived a good life. I do unto others as I'd have them do unto me. I try to be a good churchman, a good family man. You know, everything you've said so far is what you've done. Nothing about what Jesus has done, right? And so you share your faith, share the gospel, and it's all in here. So, I'm standing with Glenn. This little folder is in this packet right here, which you use when you get through counseling. You're going to show them how to use the book, the first bottle of milk, we call it. If you're counseling children, you're going to have a slightly different Trusting Jesus right here, and another book, Trusting Jesus book. You that are going to counsel children are going to have a separate meeting to find out how to use this and the book you use with children. Okay? Now, Glenn comes forward. We're paired off. I put his name on the top of my little folder here so I can use it in conversation. Say, Glenn, or Mr. Blossom, do you use the first name here usually in this area, or do you go with the last name? What do you do here? Whatever you're familiar with. Say, you know, Billy Graham said the council is going to help you tonight, and I have that privilege, and I pray tonight before you leave, I'll have every question answered that you have. Now, Glenn, would you mind checking the box that best indicates the act? Get the little folder out, everyone. Little folder out. Commitment folder. Get it out. So hand this to Glenn. Lots of light over there. Plenty. We've been using this for years. Glenn, check the box that indicates the action that you're taking here tonight. So he looks it over, and while he's looking, I'm doing what? Praying. God help him. Glenn checks number one. I have just personally accepted Jesus Christ as my, what's this word? Lord and Savior. And I would say to Glenn, is that true tonight? For the first time you've opened your life to Jesus, you've received him, trusted him. And I want you to point out here, Glenn, a commitment here to the Lord means it's not just a trip out of the stands, not easy believism. You are committing yourself to following Jesus Christ on a regular basis. And I want you to understand that, Glenn. In a moment, I'm going to give you some help that will help you get started right. So it says, turn to page what? Where's six first, right? So I'd go to six, and here you have those four steps practically that we've read in diagram. Recognize God's plan is peace and life, and you have Christ dying for the world. And if you can read this over and see what you feel the easiest with. I say to Glenn, Billy Graham tonight preached a wonderful message on the cross. And let's read the blue paragraph under recognize God's plan. Read it out loud. The message you have just heard stressed that God loves you and wants you to experience his peace and life. And Glenn, God does love you. Christ sent his son to die for you on the cross that you might have this wonderful life eternal. And you've come to that tonight. But I want to point something out, Glenn. It's not automatic. Really, we must realize our problems want to separate. Read the next statement. People choose to disobey God and go their own willful way. This results in separation from God. And so, Glenn, there's been a chasm between you and God and me and God for years. And I pray tonight you understand that this chasm is going to be closed by the cross. Use your own testimony wherever you can. I was converted at 16. We had revival meetings in our church over and over and over again. I went forward. I wept tears. Evangelical Church, which merged with the United Brethren, which merged with the United Methodist. I went forward every time they had a revival. Billy Graham, years ago, said the three little men in the decision, the little man of emotion. You know, you can cry a bucket of tears and not get saved. Is that right? There's a second little man of intellect. You want to study everything out, and some people will go to the ends of the earth. They'll go to India and all over trying to find the intellect. There's a third little man of the will that must be bent to say, I'm a sinner. And that's what you've done tonight then, Glenn, if I understand. You've come to Christ. You know, I like to use the illustration of the pig. You take the pig out of the muck, give him a bath, and put a ribbon on him, take him to the fair, and he looks good. But when you let him go, where does he go? Right back again to the what? He's got a nature. That was mine. Every time I went forward, nothing happened. I'd go right back again. because I was not regenerated. I needed a new nature, right? If you like, put 2 Corinthians 5:17 right there by number 2. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creature. Born of God. Born again. Born from above. And so we need a new nature, don't we? Right? And so, Glenn, thank the Lord you've taken that step tonight. Now, here's what happened. Read the third blue paragraph under number 3. Respond to God's realm. Read it out loud. God sent His Son to bridge the gap. Christ did this on Corinthians. He died on the cross and rose from the dead. So tonight, Glenn, you came to the cross. Jesus took your sins and bore them on the cross that you might have forgiveness and everlasting life. And then, Glenn, read the under 4, the blue paragraph. You crossed the bridge into God's family when you asked Christ to come into your life. And that's what you did tonight, I believe, Glenn. Now, here's the invitation he responded to. Repent, turn from your sins, and by faith receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life, and follow Him in obedience. Did you respond to that invitation tonight? And Glenn, you prayed this prayer with Billy Graham. Read it out loud with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe You died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive You as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank You for saving me now. Amen. And I say to Glenn, did you pray with Dr. Graham earlier? And I would hope he would not have said. I want you to write that right after prayer of commitment. Write these words. Did you pray with Mr. Graham? That's the question I'd ask immediately if I'm counseling someone. Did you pray with Dr. Graham? Did you? Then he ought to be able, if he says yes, then I ought to be able to say, well, where is he then? Oh, he's in my heart. Now, if Glenn still looks a little mystified and not quite understand what I said, Glenn, you want Christ tonight as your Savior. You want to leave here tonight knowing that Jesus Christ is in your life. And I trust he'd say, well, pray it now with me then and ask him to come in. And then we turn to page 2. Now, all of you do this now like you were doing it with a counselor or the inquirer. We're going to do a little Bible study to send them home with. When you prayed with the evangelist, coming to Christ, committing your life to Christ, what happened? Read with me. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. I'd say, Glenn, what did Jesus say he would do if you ask him in? Write it down. I will. Write it down. All of you, write it down. I will come in. Then, Glenn, where is he right now? I would pray that Glenn would say, well, he's in my heart. He's in my heart. And if Glenn wasn't clear, I'd say, Glenn, you want Christ in there, don't you? What does he say he'll do if you ask him in? Well, let's do it again. Let's pray right now. Ask Christ to come in. Then we come to the next verse. Read with me. The Bible says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Glenn, what happened when you received him? I became a what? Child of God. Write it down. You're going to help inquire. I'm a child of God. Another wonderful thing happened, Glenn. Now that you believe in Jesus Christ, what can you be certain of? I have what? Eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, and whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And so write it down. Not something going to start someday. It's something right now. Is that right? I am enjoying eternal life right now. Are you? And then you might want to review. How do you know you're saved? You're a child of God. I know because, read it with me. God said it in His Word. I believe it in my heart. That settles it. And so I would pray with Glenn. And then I would give him this book right here, show him what's in it, and fill out the card on it. Now, Glenn doesn't check the first one. He checks 2A, and about 20% will be saying, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I'm not sure. Now, right in front of the A there, write the word when. When? And I'd ask Glenn, say, when, tell me, Glenn, when did you receive him? And I want to get a testimony and a witness from him. And Glenn, as far as I could tell, made a commitment. I wish we had spiritual Geiger counters so we could get so many beeps, you know, if things were true or not. But we have to trust the Holy Spirit. And so Glenn gives me a good testimony, witness. We go to page 3. How to be sure that Christ has forgiven my sins. And instead of doing the Bible study on page 2, I work my way down page 3 with Glenn, understand? And I furnish other information that I have that will help him. And you may want to do page 2, too. I mean, we really want to know, does that person really have Jesus Christ in his life? And I think you can get that as you do the Bible study here and add anything else you need. There's the Bible study. Now, Glenn doesn't check 2A, he checks 2B. I have accepted Christ, but I, what's this word? Failed him. Tell me, Glenn, when did you receive him? And Glenn gives me a good witness. And we turn to page what? 4. And I work my way down page 4 with Glenn. You ever see that diagram before on page 4? When? We got off the path, we get back on again. I'd help Glenn get back on the pathway again through confession. And I share with him as we answer the question, you're not confessing to me right now. Take time. At this moment, quietly confess your sin to God. And help him get back on the path and then finish the lesson with him. And so, again, I would pray with Glenn and give him this book, getting him started on the Bible studies. Glenn doesn't check 2A or B, checks 3. About 5%, this is 25% here, rededication, about 5% are coming for the last 3. Probably 2%, right? Might say, I'm just demonstrating my faith. So, write the word when again. Tell me about it, Glenn. When did you receive him? And so he gives me a good testimony. In fact, not everyone that's down there is an awful sinner, you know, away from God or whatever. Some people have never gone forward. And boy, they want to get down there and let everybody know. And so Glenn gives me a beautiful testimony. And I said, well, praise the Lord, Glenn. And I pray with him. I said, Dr. Graham still wants you to have this book. And so I share the book with him. Now, let's get down to this fourth one. On your slip there, I don't have the words, but this says again, number 4, I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord, and I want to talk about a special need. Again, I'd put a when in front of it. When did you receive him, Glenn? And he gives me his witness, and it's a good witness. And I say, okay, Glenn, tell me, what is your problem? And I'm liable to hear almost anything. And if I can't help, Glenn, raise my hand. You understand? I could be over my head. Many of you have never helped people before. And so I'm going to get help. There'll be 300-400 supervisors standing around. Put them to work. Okay? Now, here's a little stopgap. The EE program. In fact, on the bottom of the folder, put down pages 29 and 30, and you're going to read a little bit more about using this little booklet. Bottom of page 29 and 30 in your course book tells you how to use the commitment folder. I'm going to close here in just a couple of minutes, but read more about it. So, Glenn gives me his problem, and I can't help. I call a supervisor. Now, here's a little stopgap. Mind you, that most everything is going to, I'll guarantee, is going to be very clear for you. Billy Graham has made it very definite. But, you're a little... But when I ask Glenn, when did you receive him, Glenn? He might say, well, you know, I can't remember ever not being a Christian. I was brought up in a Christian home, and I always go to church. And he might say that I, you know, went through the rituals of the church, whatever. And that doesn't quite give me the peace I ought to have about whether Glenn really knows. So I said, Glenn, could I ask you another question? Put an if under... When? Glenn, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven?
Glenn might say, well, I'd like to think so.
Then could I ask you one more question? Put a why under the if. Glenn, let me ask you this. If you were to stand before God tonight, and he should say to you, Glenn, why should I accept in my heaven? What would you say? I've heard this over and over. I always try to live a good life. I go to church regularly. I joined a church when I was five. I try to be a good family man, a good church man. Everything but what Jesus Christ is. Glenn, I say, everything you've told me now is what you've done, not what Jesus Christ has done. And I'd say, Glenn, could I just, we're only into counseling now 3 or 4 minutes. I'd say, Glenn, Do you mind if I just share page 6 with you here? And I just go back down to page 6 and amplify it. See, Billy Graham preached tonight about the cross. He told us that we were sinners away from God, without hope and without life, and that we're separated from God, and we need to be reconciled to God by the cross. And he told us tonight, if we just repent, turn from our sin, and believe in Jesus Christ, that Christ would come into our life. And he prayed with you. Now, you just told me a bit ago, you really are not clear about why God should accept in heaven. What would you say now? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you personally? You know, he went to the cross, and share the gospel with him. Then you might go right into lesson on page 2 and talk about Christ at the heart's door. We must receive him, and when we do, we become a child of God. Understand? And so you're not taking it for granted if a person says that he has accepted Christ. You want to know, in what is he trusting? Now, my time is up, but there's one little thing here, and it's still, we haven't really solved the problem of it, and that's for this person right here. And probably 1% would check this one here. And you can read what we suggest on pages 5 and 6. My suggestion to you is this. Listen now, if you get someone to check this one, raise your hand, okay? If you don't know how to handle it, raise your hand. And put it in the hands of a pastor. You understand that? Nod your head, do you? Do we have an announcement about the offering? Do we have an announcement yet? You gave so much tonight, they haven't been able to count it. Lord willing, how many of you are coming back next week? Now, you're not kidding, are you? You're going to come back. How many of you are afraid of the application form? Let me see. Listen, we know that all of you are not going to be counselors. We want to teach you next week about follow-up and how you can help in the follow-up corps. We also want to teach you how to lead a small group Bible study so you can help your church lead people on in their faith. Understand? Wouldn't you like to learn? Would you? It's a good little book. It's one of our most popular books, Bible study books, right here. Now, several of you were asked to stay after the class tonight for some instructions. Pastors and Christian workers, you got a letter in the mail. And where is Paul? Paul right here. Paul, will you lead these people for about 15 minutes to get some instructions about receiving applications next week? If bring your application back a little ahead of the class and hand them in to one of these supervisors at a table in the foyer. Would all of you who received the letter move out now with Paul. We're still waiting on the report, and here it comes. Here it comes. What's the good news?
$13,700.
Let's sing it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Would you do something before you leave here tonight? Really. Turn to page 3 in the commitment folder. And either pair off and go down and fill out the answers to that question, the questions, or do it alone before you leave here. Just quietly, do a little study. Would you do that? I'm not saying you're doing this because you're going to be a counselor at all. It'll do you good. Do a little study. Very easy to do. Just pair off with someone, one of you be the counselor and the other the counselee, and finish that page. And you may even want to move on and do the next one on page 4. But we've got to be upstairs for a little while and do some work with these people, and I'd appreciate it if you would just take some time now to answer those questions. Everyone's gone up, I guess, Glenn, it needs to be.